The Skunk Works enjoys a preeminence in aerospace development based largely on unbounded enthusiasm and a willingness to tackle just about anything. That was amply demonstrated to me back in the 1970s during my first tour of duty at the Pentagon as Undersecretary, while working with Ben and the Skunk Works to develop the stealth fighter. Those guys showed the most extraordinary confidence in their willingness to take on projects that most other companies would avoid, because the chances to succeed were too small or too difficult. But the Skunk Works applied their formidable technical skills in very practical ways that no other company was able to match. That, plus their tremendous energy and willingness to work around the clock until a problem was solved, enabled them to enjoy a very close and trusting relationship with the customer that was unique between government and industry. Without question, my work with the Skunk Works on developing the stealth fighter is the most significant project I have ever been involved in. Back in the 70s, I never would have been able to predict in detail about where we would be in stealth developments in the 1990s. But I did have a vision that what the Skunk Works had produced was the most important military aerospace technology since the invention of radar in World War II. And like radar, stealth would change the way that all subsequent air wars would be fought. I believed then that it was only a matter of time before every new airplane and missile that we built would incorporate stealth features, and that stealth would provide our Air Force with a highly leveraged capability to wage air wars. All of that was very clear to me 22 years ago, and I can remember the precise moment when I became certain about the real significance of our stealth work. A specific summer day in 1977, when the half-blue stealth prototype built by the Skunk Works first flew over a radar measurement test range. The results were just stunning. Half-blue proved that the incredible low radar cross-section, previously achieved by a wooden model sitting on top of a pole, could be duplicated by a combat aircraft. That was a very dramatic moment for me, and within days, we in the Defense Department had set in motion the entire stealth fighter program. First, we put the program onto the heaviest possible security. Second, we set in motion a large budget to ensure adequate funding all the way through. When I left office in 1981, that program was secure. We had solid funding for two squadrons of F-117s, and I knew what it could do. I had less faith that the Air Force would be able to successfully develop the tactics and armaments to maximize the stealth's tactical advantages. But the Air Force proved me wrong. They did a superb job in developing smart bombs designed just for the F-117. And they spent many months evolving the kinds of tactics that made the aircraft so extraordinarily successful in Desert Storm. Basically, the F-117s were the enablers. They went in and destroyed or neutralized most of the Iraqi command and control centers so that non-stealth attack aircraft like the F-15s and F-16s could operate at will against targets where normally they could expect to suffer substantial losses. The F-117s made the job of our conventional aircraft infinitely safer and much easier. So I know what the Skunk Works can do and is capable of doing. And now, on my second tour at the Pentagon, I have new and greater responsibilities than the first time around, and a whole new set of challenges that are in many ways far more complex than those we faced in the 70s. I am well aware, for example, of the overwhelming need to keep alive in an era of diminished budgets our capability for rapid development of new experimental aircraft, which has been the forte of the Skunk Works since its inception. This is a capability I will strive to maintain in the face of broad-scale defense cutbacks. In fact, continued support of such research and development funding is uppermost among my concerns, and we have been able to maintain a reasonable level of funding despite the cutbacks and downsizing generally underway in the defense establishment. The administration is determined to maintain the kinds of advanced prototyping and advanced testing in building experimental aircraft or weapon systems that can actually be used in small numbers in combat situations to learn how to most effectively use them and improve them before larger investments are made. The Skunk Works, in part, pioneered many of these techniques while building the stealth fighter. There are three or four other small R&D operations doing advanced work other than the Skunk Works, Northrop, for instance, has an able group working on advanced aircraft and missiles. Martin Marietta has a group focusing on short-range tactical missiles. As for the Skunk Works itself, it has specialized in developing surveillance aircraft. And there is a need for a tactical reconnaissance vehicle to supply real-time eyes in combat theaters. I doubt that these will be manned airplanes. The Skunk Works has done some significant work on drones over the years, and I would see this as more economically and militarily feasible than the older U-2 and Blackbird series. I don't see those kinds of aircraft in our future. Between unmanned satellites and unmanned drones, piloted reconnaissance airplanes will be squeezed out within the next 5 to 10 years. I don't want to compare the small R&D operations, but they all consist of similar close-knit, can-do, highly technical groups working on advanced and complex problems. They are all self-contained and do not require many people or big budgets. And as far as I am concerned, I am confident that the administration is well over the critical pass in keeping all of them afloat. I would be very concerned otherwise if we were ignoring them or neglecting them, because I consider them to be vital to the national interest in both the short and long term. The Skunk Works' strength is the autonomy they have enjoyed from management and their close teamwork and partnership with their customers, both unique situations in aerospace. I have been amazed at their ability to focus technical skills in the most effective ways that really counted to problem solving. They are the best around. Ben R. Rich died from cancer on January 5, 1995. Ben died as he had lived, with courage, good humor, and resolve. At his request, his ashes were scattered from an airplane near his beachfront house on the California coast in Oxnard. At the moment his ashes were released, a stealth fighter appeared out of the clouds and dipped its wings in a final salute to its creator. This has been a Hachette audio production of Skunk Works, written by Ben R. Rich and Leo Yanos. Read by Pete Larkin. Produced by Cheryl Smith. Directed by Jared O'Connell. Recorded at Beat Street Productions. Post-production by Beat Street Productions. Skunk Works is also available in print and digital formats from Little Brown & Company, a division of Hachette Book Group. For more Hachette audio productions, visit us at HachetteAudio.com. Thank you for listening. Text copyright 1994 by Ben R. Rich. Audio production copyright 2015, Hachette Audio. All rights reserved. In accordance with the U.S. Copyright Act of 1976, the duplicating, uploading, and electronic sharing of any part of this audiobook without the permission of the publisher constitutes unlawful piracy and theft of the author's intellectual property. If you would like to use material from the audiobook, other than for review purposes, prior written permission must be obtained by contacting the publisher at permissions@hbgusa.com. Thank you for your support of the author's rights.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.